Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the programme, Vaughan Scope.
Any Lenten period that passes and a Christian does not come closer to God and be a better neighbor to his or her brother or sister, that season has been a failure for that Christian.
Good Friday is very important to us because of the fact that it is the day in which we celebrate the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we started off the English service broadcast talking about Good Friday. Now, of course, it begs the question, why do we observe Good Friday? Well, it's a day to ponder on the sacrifices made by Jesus Christ, who Christians believe died on the cross to offer humanity redemption and eternal life. We'll get into that during the course of Vaughan Scope. However, we've also got a look at Nigeria's president calls on religious leaders to partake in nation building. South Africa's Electoral Commission bars ex-president from upcoming election. UN court orders Israel to allow aid into Gaza. We'll also bring you updates on what's happening with the economy and also sports. We've got a news commentary on Good Friday coming up, and we'll also take a look at events that shaped this day in history and also bring you some wise words of wisdom from the African continent, all on this edition of Vaughan Scope. We're so glad to have you join us as we navigate the currents of current affairs. My name is Angela Agwegi. Welcome. Now let's take a look at the news. As Christians across the globe mark Good Friday, they've been urged to imbibe the spirit of love and selflessness as exemplified by Jesus Christ. The Archbishop, Catholic Archdiocese of Abuja, Ignatius Kaigama, who made the call in Abuja, advised Nigerians to be optimistic as they go through the current challenges. Archbishop Kaigama speaks on the significance of Good Friday.
He died to save us, to free us from sin. His death is a victory over sin, over death, over Satan. Because Christ died and rose, death doesn't have the same threat to me as if Christ didn't come.
Meanwhile, Nigeria's President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has called on religious leaders to refrain from vilifying or denigrating the nation in their sermons. Speaking during Ramadan iftar with traditional rulers and religious leaders at the State House on Thursday in Nigeria's capital, the Nigerian leader emphasized the important role of religious leaders in shaping public opinion and fostering a sense of unity among citizens. President Tinubu promising that his administration is determined to turn Nigeria's challenges into prosperity, urged the leaders to be more constructive in their criticism of those in elective positions.
It is with God-given talent and resolve of all of us to say that we will overcome the challenges by the grace of God.
Moving away from Nigeria now, South Africa's Electoral Commission has barred former President Jacob Zuma from standing in the May 29 general election in the country. The Electoral Commission President Mosotho Moepia affirming to reporters that they've received an objection in the case of Zuma, which has been upheld, said the party that nominated him and those objecting to the move have been informed. The former president has been campaigning for the recently formed Umkhonto weSizwe MK Spare of the Nation Party in an attempt to relaunch his career after he was previously jailed for contempt of court in 2021. South Africa is set to hold its general election on May 29 in what is expected to be the most competitive vote since the end of the apartheid in 1994. And finally, the United Nations top court has ordered Israel to enable the unhindered flow of aid into Gaza in order to avert a famine. In a unanimous decision, the International Court of Justice, ICJ, said Israel must act without delay to allow for the provision of basic services and humanitarian assistance, which are urgently needed. This follows warnings that famine could hit Gaza within weeks. Israel, however, called the allegations that it's blocking aid wholly unfounded, saying Hamas was to blame for the situation in Gaza and for starting the war. Giving its response to the court order, the Israeli Foreign Ministry said it was continuing to promote new initiatives and to expand existing ones to allow a continuous flow of aid into Gaza by land, air and sea, working with the UN and others. The latest ruling by the court in The Hague comes after South Africa asked it to bolster an order issued to Israel in January to consider all measures to prevent genocidal acts in Gaza. And with those stories, we've come to the end of the news on Von Scope. Thanks for joining us on the program. It's a half-hour news magazine from Voice of Nigeria, the authoritative choice. And dear listener, you can follow up on the stories that we bring you on the program by logging on to www.von.gov.ng or by downloading the Voice of Nigeria mobile app. We're also live on X. It's at Voice of Nigeria. We begin from the presidency, where Nigeria's leader, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, has urged religious leaders and traditional rulers to forge a strong bond with the government to defeat terrorism, banditry, kidnapping, and other forms of criminality in the country. President Tinubu made the appeal during the Ramadan iftar with traditional rulers and religious leaders at the State House on Thursday in Nigeria's capital city. The president also reiterated that no terrorist can defeat the collective will of Nigerians, no matter how hard they try to prey on innocent citizens. Here's Voice of Nigeria's State House correspondent, Temitope Mustafa, with more.
Emphasizing the importance of leaders in shaping public opinion and fostering a sense of unity among citizens, Nigeria's President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, in another series of dinner breaking of Ramadan fast, this time with religious leaders and traditional rulers from the 6 geopolitical zones of Nigeria, President Tinubu charged the leaders, who are custodians of culture and preachers of faith, to educate Nigerians appropriately and to be more conscious of the sermon they preach in the mosque and in the churches.
Pray for our country. Educate our children. All the members of our church and mosque, the sermon we give to them is important. We don't condemn your own nation.
The Nigerian leader reiterated that through collective will of Nigerians, no terrorist is capable of defeating Nigeria as a nation.
No terrorist can defeat our spirit. We have together, bond together, and deal with them.
Speaking on behalf of the Traditional Rulers Council of Nigeria, the Oni of Ife Obadeyeye Ogunwusi assured the president of the unwavering support of traditional rulers and commended the government effort to address the hiking food and the security challenges. On the security situation in the country, the Emir of Zawzaw, who represented the Sultan of Sokoto and President General Nigerian Supreme Council of Islamic Affairs, expressed optimism that the country will return to peace and stability. Also speaking at the breaking of Ramadan fast with leaders of traditional institutions and leaders of both Islamic and Christian faith, the Vice President Kashim Shettima underscored the need to give more support to the president.
The economy, by the grace of God, is bouncing back and in full. We need to rally around him.
In his appreciation to the president's guest, Vice President Shettima mentioned one of the pivotal roles of the leader, appealing to them to promote unity and peace.
And build bridges of brotherhood and sisterhood that transcend our ethnic and religious divides. What binds us to fight whatever that divides us?
You recall that the Nigerian leader, President Tinubu, in the last few days of the month of Ramadan, had hosted series of dinner in breaking of Ramadan fast with governors, key officials of judiciary, and members of his cabinet, using the opportunity to forge more relationships with different institutions in the country to achieve good governance. For Voice of Nigeria, Temitope Mustafa reporting.
Thank you, Temitope. Still on religious matters, Lent is a period of intense spiritual activity observed by Catholics worldwide. During this period, Christians are admonished to look inward and critically examine their lives before God in order to partake in the gains associated with the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, celebrated during Easter by Christians globally. The Catholic Archbishop of the Abuja Archdiocese in Nigeria, Most Reverend Ignatius Kaigama, gave the admonition when he featured on Voice of Nigeria's news program In the News with correspondent Fee Oyebunji.
It brings about transformation. When there is spiritual transformation, it affects also our lives, in the family, in the place of work, in the society in general. If you have good Christians, you see, they become the light of the society. They bring something positive. They bring values to their work, to their life in the home. These values influence them, so they become better citizens. So the government should be happy that we have Christians that are fasting, praying, and doing almsgiving during Lent, because it makes them to be better human beings. And when they are better human beings, you can be sure they are going to be better citizens. Any Lenten period that passes and a Christian does not come closer to God and be a better neighbor to his or her brother or sister, then that season has been a failure for that Christian. So we hope that the extensive spiritual activity we carry out will translate into good relationship, good rapport, help to those in need, the poor, visiting the sick, those in prison, and all that. So it should have a positive impact on society.
In that case, Lopez, why does the church allow conditional fast, abstinence, almsgiving, and prayer? Why not be strict on fasting in a compulsory manner?
No, you see, we live in a multicultural and multi-religious society. I am sure you are aware the Muslims have a similar system of fasting for a month or so, and theirs is very particular and rigidly worked out. So they fast from morning till evening and so on. But it is not the same for us. That people can fast like that if they want. Some even can fast for 2 days, 3 days, some for 1 week. Depends. It is no compulsion, and there is no fixed way of doing our fasting. So we encourage people to review their life. Fasting from food is good, but as I said, we don't have a fixed way of doing it. I can decide to eat only once a day in order to feel the hunger that others feel. I can decide not to eat breakfast, not to eat lunch, not to eat supper. That is all left to me. We say a Christian should do something, and it's not compulsory. You do it out of free will and do it with the best of intention. So don't expect that we should decree everybody.
That was the Catholic Archbishop of Abuja, Archdiocese in Nigeria, Most Reverend Ignatius Kaigama, featuring on Voice of Nigeria's program In the News with correspondent Fee Oyebanji. So today is Good Friday, and it's a day that Christians commemorate Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary. According to Christian theology, this event led to the victory of life over death. On today's news commentary titled The Significance of Good Friday, written by Ukamaka Okafor, it highlights the redemption of the world in Christian faith.
Good Friday is a day that Christians commemorate Christ's death on the cross of Calvary. According to the Christian theology, this event led to the victory of life over death. Christians observe Good Friday as the day of the passion and death of Jesus Christ for the salvation of mankind. Good Friday, as the name implies, became good on account of the significance of the death of Jesus Christ for redemption of the world, as enunciated by the Christian faith. This day, therefore, is the Christian anniversary of redemption. Christians believe that the significance of the day lies on the redemption of mankind from sins that risk eternal damnation. As a special day to commemorate the Lord's crucifixion, Good Friday is associated with events of the Jewish Passover. The celebration of the death of Jesus Christ on Good Friday as a constitutive part of the Paschal mystery goes back to this day. The day is an essential part of 40 penitential fasting period called Lent. Lenten period begins with Ash Wednesday, when Christians are marked ash on their foreheads, reminding mankind of his nothingness before God, as epitomized by these words, "You are ash, and to ash you will return." The Church, or Ash Wednesday and beyond, emphasizes on prayers, fasting, and almsgiving. The last week of Lent is known as the Holy Week. Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday commemorates Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem as King to suffer and die at the completion of his earthly mission. The last 3 days of the Holy Week are called the Triduum and are so important on account of the centrality of the event celebrated to mankind and his salvation. They are Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. Good Friday has a very long history, being closely associated with Easter. Thus, a common name, Paschal Mystery, joins the whole mystery of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. Easter, as the principal feast of the Christian year, began to be celebrated as early as the 2nd century AD. Before this time, however, there was a weekly celebration of the Lord's resurrection. The cross is central to the theme of Good Friday, which is admired on this day with genuflection. On this day also, stations of the cross and other forms of prayers, fasting, almsgiving, and abstaining from meat are meant to be observed by some Christians. It also reminds Christians that just as the blood of the Lamb was smeared on the Israelites' doorpost that brought them deliverance from their bondages in Egypt, Christ becomes the Paschal Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, and by whose death deliverance from the devil is now guaranteed. Good Friday also recalls the manner of Christ's death after his crucifixion, and as he was hung on the cross, his pierced by the side brought forth water and blood. Good Friday is thus a day to reflect on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. While water symbolizes the sacrament of baptism, blood symbolizes the mystery of Eucharist, and both constitute the very foundation of the Church. Writing to the Romans, St. Paul acknowledged this fact when he said that those who are baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Furthermore, Christians at a time like this are thus challenged to exercise selfless service to their neighbors and the entire society. With Nigeria going through economic, political, and religious challenges, Good Friday reminds Christians of the need to care for one another. It is also an opportunity to realize that there is more merit in giving than in receiving. Following the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who gave his all for the sake of mankind. As Christians join Jesus Christ in his passion experience on Good Friday, the necessity of self-denial in their day-to-day lives is reappraised against the backdrop of a world that craves for pleasure at the expense of rectitude and conscience. And with this question, if Jesus Christ, who is God, could suffer, why not me? Why not you? Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday celebrations end the season of Lent, which began on Ash Wednesday, with 40 days of prayers, fasting, and almsgiving.
A lot of amazing lessons to learn from this day. That news commentary, titled The Significance of Good Friday, was written by Ukamaka Okafor and presented by Godwin Uka. Still on Good Friday, Nigerian leaders have been urged to put measures in place that will make life easier for the people. The Archbishop of the Metropolitan See of Lagos, His Grace, Most Reverend Adewale Martins, made this known during this year's Chrism Mass in Lagos State, Southwest Nigeria. According to Most Reverend Martins, the country has a lot to improve upon to alleviate the hardship that is being faced by the citizens. Here's Voice of Nigeria correspondent Cynthia Okiri, who was at the event.
The Archbishop of the Metropolitan See of Lagos, His Grace Most Reverend Adewale Martins, advised the leaders to intensify efforts towards alleviating the sufferings of Nigerians.
Our nation has a lot that needs to be improved upon. We all are witnesses to the fact that there is so much hunger, that there is so much poverty in the land. We all are witnesses to the insecurity that is so very prevalent among us. So at this Easter time, we can only ask our leaders to really do everything within their power to ensure that they make life better for the nation, for the people.
The Archbishop also urged the leaders to lead by example to enable the citizens to be more patriotic.
Yes, we have been told that it will take time for things to get back to normal. We have been told that we need to make sacrifices. But it is important that those who lead us be seen to be leading in making the sacrifices. When the sacrifices are one-sided towards the people, then they do not take what the leaders say seriously. Let our leaders just simply lead by example, and I believe all of us will fall in line.
For the priests who just renewed their vows, the Archbishop commended their steadfastness and urged them to continue to remain faithful in their service to God and to the people.
Well, first of all, to congratulate the priests and to commend them for the good work they are doing all over the archdiocese, but also to remind them that the work must continue with new vigor. They should strive to continue to be faithful to the call, to Christ's commitments that they have made, and to the oaths that they take at ordination.
The Director of Social Communications, Catholic Archdiocese of Lagos, Father Anthony Godono, called on the people to pray more for the priests, urging his fellow Reverend Fathers to continue to remain faithful.
We can only ask for more and more prayers, because this is not an easy vocation, letting go of everything in order to follow Jesus Christ, not to be married, not to have children, and to dedicate yourself to the service of mankind in the way that we do. My message to my fellow priests is to continue to strive for excellence in the name of Jesus Christ.
The Mass of Chrism is an opportunity for all priests to renew their vows, promises, and commitment to service. It is also a time to bless and consecrate the sacred oils for baptism, anointing, confirmation, and dedication. In this year's Chrism Mass, more than 500 priests renewed their vows. For Voice of Nigeria, I am Cynthia Okere reporting from Lagos.
Thank you, Cynthia. Well, Cynthia is joining us on the story again. In a related development, the Director of Social Communications, Archdiocese of Lagos, Reverend Father Anthony Godunu, wants Nigerians to love one another as portrayed by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Reverend Godunu, who stated this in an interview with Voice of Nigeria's religion correspondent, Cynthia Okere, said that the death of Jesus was to bring salvation and redemption to humanity. According to him, reciprocating such love for one another will unite Nigerians more and help in rapid development.
Good Friday is very important to us because of the fact that it is the day in which we celebrate the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reflection upon his life is to tell us that there is no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He laid down his life for his friends that we are. The whole of humanity is his friend. So it is on the basis of that that we celebrate this Good Friday in a very solemn manner, calling the suffering and death of Jesus, who has spread his love upon us.
What message does he have to the general public? What does he portend to us as Nigerians?
It calls all of us to service.
That was the Director of Social Communications, Archdiocese of Lagos State, Reverend Father Anthony Godunu. You're listening to Vonscope, a half-hour news magazine from Voice of Nigeria, the authoritative choice. Looks like it's about time we bring up Mariam Suleiman to bring us economic updates.
Thank you. The exchange rate used for calculating customs import duties and cargo clearance has decreased for the fifth time in under 2 weeks, moving from 1,612 naira per dollar on the 15th of March to 1,405 naira per dollar currently. Previously, the Nigerian Customs Service had declared that the exchange rate for duty collection and cargo clearance would be determined by the Central Bank of Nigeria based on the official market rate. Recent observations indicate a steady description in value, showing the naira strengthening against other currencies in both the parallel and official foreign exchange markets. Over the last 2 weeks, there has been a notable improvement in naira's value, climbing from 1,615 naira per dollar on the 13th of March to 1,382 naira per dollar by the 26th of March. The Nigerian National Petroleum Company, NNPC Limited, has dismissed reports that there is a downward adjustment of the price of petrol and diesel at its retail stations nationwide. NNPC Limited made the clarification in a statement by the Chief Corporate Communications Officer of the company, Mr. Olufemi Sonoye. There were reports that the ex-depot price crashed from 640 naira per litre to 630 naira per litre for independent marketers, while NNPC Limited sold at 570 naira per litre. The Nigerian government has been asked to speed up all processes of facilitating business in the country and create a favorable environment for investors who are trying to thrive from within and overseas. And that concludes the economic news. I'm Miriam Suleiman.
Thank you, Miriam. Now it's time to bring up Solomon Chung for a look at what's happening in the world of sports.
Hello and welcome to Sports News. Captain of Nigeria's Super Eagles, Kenny Tomero, has called on his teammates to build positive results to help the nation qualify for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The 30-year-old Kasim Pasa, central defender who featured in Nigeria's defeat to Mali after missing out on a game against Ghana due to an injury, made the huge call considering the high stake of the qualification. He said the team went into the match against Mali determined to win,
just as they did against Ghana, but in the end it didn't work out as expected and planned. Omero clearly has demanded more from the remaining players to put their best to ensure Nigeria seals qualification to the 2026 FIFA World Cup that will be hosted by Canada, USA and Mexico. As it stands, Nigeria will take on South Africa on Wednesday, June 5th, before traveling to the neighboring Benin Republic to face Guinea's host side 3 days later. The Confederation of Africa Football, CAF, has announced the date for the two-leg CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup finals in May. Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa are the lone remaining South African CAF Interclub representatives. These Sundowns compete in the Champions League quarterfinals against Young Africans, with the first leg in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania on Saturday. The second leg will be on April 5th at Loftus Versfield in Pretoria. Meanwhile, CAF schedule shows that the Champions League final first leg will be on Saturday, May 28th, and the second leg will be played on Saturday, May 25th. The first leg of the Confederation Cup will be played on Sunday, May 12th. The second leg will be following weekend on Sunday, May 19th. And we're dunking off to basketball. Nigeria's senior women's national football team, the Tigers, will take on Australia in their opening Group B game at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games. The Federation of International Basketball Association confirmed the pairing on their website. Other teams drawn in Group B with the Tigers are hosts France and then Canada. According to the schedule, the Tigers will face Australia on Monday, 29 July 2024. Thanks for listening. I am Solomon Chung.
Thank you, Solomon. Now let's quickly take a look at some events that shaped this day, March 29, in history. On this day in 1867, the British North America Act, the British colonies of Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Canada were united as the Dominion of Canada, and the province of Canada was separated into Quebec and Ontario. In 1961, Nelson Mandela goes underground and became known as the Black Pimpernel. Still on this day in 1973, the last United States combat troops left South Vietnam, ending America's direct military involvement in the Vietnam War. And finally on this day in 2004, Ireland became the first European country to implement legislation creating smoke-free enclosed workspaces, bars and restaurants. That's a look at March 29 in history. Looks like Margaret is on standby to bring us a look at the weather forecast. Margaret.
This is the weather forecast across Africa for Friday, 29th March 2024. Nigeria Meteorological Agency, NIMET, predicts sunny skies to the north, while the central and southern cities will be cloudy during the morning hours, with prospects of thunderstorms to the coast. The afternoon to evening will have better chances of thunderstorms to the southern cities, as well as to the Federal Capital Territory, FCT, Kogi, Benue, Nasarawa, Plateau, Adamawa, Taraba, and Kaduna State. General temperatures will range from 34 to 44 degrees Celsius across the country. Across Africa, Conakry, Guinea in West Africa will be sunny with a temperature of about 32 degrees Celsius. Port Louis, Mauritius in East Africa will have rain showers with a temperature of about 29 degrees Celsius. Alexandria, Egypt in North Africa will have sunny intervals with a temperature of about 21 degrees Celsius. Luanda, Angola in Central Africa will have thundery showers with a temperature of about 33 degrees Celsius. While in Southern Africa, Mbabane, Eswatini will have rain showers with a temperature of about 21 degrees Celsius. That's today's weather forecast across selected cities in Africa. Remember the effects of climate change and do your part to promote green energy. I am Margaret Ibishi.
When you pray, move your feet. That's today's African proverb, and it translates to, don't stay idle because you've prayed. We've come to the end of another edition of On Scope, but before we go, here's a quick look at our major stories. As Christians around the world mark Good Friday, they've been urged to imbibe the spirit of love and selflessness, as exemplified by Jesus Christ. South Africa's Electoral Commission has barred former President Jacob Zuma from standing in the May 29 general election in the country. The United Nations top court has ordered Israel to enable the unhindered flow of aid into Gaza in order to avert a famine. Read up on these stories and much more by logging on to www.von.gov.ng or by simply downloading the Voice of Nigeria mobile app. We look forward to reading your comments and suggestions on today's edition of On Scope. Send them to englishvon@yahoo.com or vonigeria880@gmail.com. This edition was produced by Zenyat Abubakar, and my name is Angela Agwigi, wishing you the very best of Good Friday.
Bridging the energy deficit gap in Nigeria will only be possible with the provision of reliable and sustainable energy infrastructure, which will play a huge part in making gas readily available to ordinary Nigerians. Hello and welcome to Voice of Nigeria, and the program is Lifeline, a quarter-hour program that looks at various measures put in place by government, private sector operators and individuals to improve Nigeria's energy and power sectors. In this edition, we'll be looking at bridging the gas infrastructure deficit for growth. I am Jude Kankara, your guide. Stay tuned for details. Nigeria, as a nation, sits on huge natural gas reserves, which are estimated to be about 2.6 trillion cubic feet. With the availability of gas in large quantities in Nigeria, domestically, gas remains expensive and beyond the reach of most ordinary Nigerians. However, the narrative is changing as the Nigerian government has been making efforts to bring down the cost of gas through the development of infrastructure to make gas outlets more available and the commodity more accessible. Since the Nigerian government declared a decade of gas from 2021 to 2030, many projects have been and are being undertaken to bridge the gas infrastructure deficit. The government has decided that gas utilization in the country must be improved in order to change the narrative, to improve the economy, and make gas more readily available to Nigerians. One of such projects is the ongoing Ajaokuta-Kaduna-Kano gas pipeline project, popularly referred to as the AKK project. Mele Kyari, the group chief executive officer of the Nigeria National Petroleum Company Limited, NNPCL, tells us more on the AKK project.
You're going to cut down gas emission into our environment, so that's going to go down. Number two, we are creating massive wealth along this pipeline because gas will be available to industries, to power, to everything that you can think of. And ultimately, you will see the coming back of many more industries along the right of way of this pipeline, and also creating new business opportunities.
The seriousness shown towards ending gas flaring in Nigeria has remained steadfast. This has been the focus since 2016, when the Nigeria Gas Flare Commercialization Program, NGFCP, was kick-started. After many hurdles and quite recently, several gas flaring sites have been put up for interested investors to bid for and work towards developing those sites to reduce carbon emissions, generate revenues, create jobs and improve the availability and accessibility of gas, especially cooking gas to the ordinary Nigerian. Gbenga Komolafe is the chief executive officer of the Nigerian Upstream Petroleum Regulatory Commission.
This project is quite very, very important to Nigeria and the world at large. It is a project contribute towards Nigeria's commitment to attaining the net zero carbon emission.
The use of compressed natural gas CNG is an alternative to the use of petroleum or diesel in powering vehicles has been the norm in most developed societies of the world. This is due to the cheap nature and environmental friendliness of CNG. The former President Muhammadu Buhari-led administration in 2021 launched the Auto Gas Deployment Initiative, a component of the National Gas Expansion Program, which is aimed at converting many vehicles and machinery in the country to use gas in powering them. The administration of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, in a bid to cushion the effect brought about by the removal of the fuel subsidy, decided to key into the vision of his predecessor and launch the Presidential Compressed Natural Gas Initiative, in which about 100 billion naira is expected to be spent. The amount will be on the purchase of CNG-powered vehicles to be used to ease transportation for millions of Nigerians. Ajuri Ingelali is the special assistant to the Nigerian president on media and publicity. He speaks.
100 billion naira that will be spent on the procurement of 3,000 20-seater CNG fuel buses. So we are currently in full-scale negotiations with not just indigenous manufacturers, but also those who can ensure that we get these buses on the ground as quickly as possible. The president, in his remarks, gave a timeline for the distribution of palliatives of approximately 9 months between now, effectively, and the end of March 2024. You know, when you're talking about manufacturing of CNG fuel buses, this is going to probably take longer than, for example, releasing 200,000 metric tons of grains from the strategic grain reserves, for example. So it's probably going to go beyond the first quarter of 2024. We're going to be looking at releasing them in phases of hundreds of CNG fuel buses. But in addition to that, providing single-digit interest rate loan facilities to transportation companies across all the urban centers, across all states of the Federation, so that not only are they taking custody of the buses, which will divide by four, essentially, the transportation cost of PMS fuel buses as against the CNG fuel buses for the average Nigerian citizen using those commercial transportation systems.
The Presidential Compressed Natural Gas Initiative of the Federal Government of Nigeria is very important at this time of our drive to improve the Nigerian economy. The initiative, apart from improving the transportation situation in the country, is expected to bring about a growth of businesses and create employment for our teeming youth, which will become a part of the value chain to further grow the economy. The Presidential Compressed Natural Gas Initiative will bring about a change in the fortunes of the millions of unemployed persons, especially the youth. In line with actualizing these noble objectives, several CNG retail outlets are to be built in partnership with stakeholders and set up to cater for these needs. Mele Kyari, the Group Chief Executive Officer of the Nigeria National Petroleum Company Limited, speaks again.
We engage our principal partner in the CNG business in the country, NIPCO Gas Limited. We have extensive engagement, and the landmark collaboration is aimed to expand the CNG infrastructure, improve access to CNG, and accelerate the adoption of cheaper and cleaner alternative fuel for buses, cars, and keke napep, which will significantly reduce the cost of transportation and engender sustainable national growth. Under the NNPC-NIPCO strategic partnership, 35 state-of-the-art CNG stations will be constructed nationwide, including three mother stations.
Another project of note geared towards bridging the gas infrastructure deficit is a floating natural gas project, which is aimed at mopping up stranded gas from wells or sites out of sea using specialized vessels equipped for such tasks. The mop-up would increase the volume of natural gas being used in the country to increase better utilization. Julius Roney is the chief executive of UTM Offshore Limited. He shares with us details of the project.
We believe that with NNPC on board and supporting this project, by the special grace of God, we'll deliver the first floating LNG, just like we promised Mr. President. December 2026, we should have our first floating LNG into this country. And this project has the ability to bring into this country 300,000 tons of LPG to support domestic requirements. And this is in line with the energy transition and also support the demand for energy in Nigeria and reduce deforestation and also reduce gas flaring. So the project also has capacity for job creation of over 7,000 personnel that will work from the value chain of the project to ensure that we develop our gas resources.
In our joint trade union, the Independent Petroleum Marketers Association of Nigeria, IPMAN, has thrown its weight behind the use of CNG to power vehicles. The use of CNG to power vehicles will be hugely beneficial to the Nigerian nation and even to the government, as CNG is cleaner for the environment. Chinedu Okoronkwo is the president, IPMAN.
I brought good news that will act as a relief to a lot of families. And what is that good news? We have brought the usage of our abundant natural gas, CNG, that will now begin to use to power both our vehicle, our generators, and even cooking. That in itself will reduce to a large extent the exposure that this country is going in terms of importation, the pressure on naira against dollar, volatility, and whatnot. So we brought that to the Nigerian public when the immediate past president was there, and he gave us all the support we needed. There is no alternative for a country transiting from fuel, PMS, than this gas. And the good news is that this thing is not going to be imported. It's here. What we need government to do in this direction is to create the market. The demand is there. A situation where the government is laying about 6,000 kilometers to Morocco. The whole idea is to get the market. But we have a market of over 200 million people here, that by the time this thing is unleashed to this country, not only will it bring wealth and succor, it will also create job and also create economic value.
With all that has been ongoing with regards to all the ongoing and projected gas projects in the country, Nigerians are optimistic that if these projects yield positive results, then there may be a turnaround in the fortunes of Nigerian businesses, industries, homes, government establishments, etc. This should put Nigeria on the path to a very bright future, bringing infrastructural and economic growth that Nigeria has always yearned for. This is where we end this edition of Lifeline, in which we focused on bridging the gas infrastructure deficit for growth. You can share your thoughts with us by writing to the producer, Lifeline, Voice of Nigeria, Broadcasting House, PMB 40003, Falomo Ikoyi, Lagos, Nigeria, or PO Box 5089, Wuse Post Office, Abuja, Nigeria. You can also send an email to vonenglishproducers@gmail.com. Visit the website www.von.gov.ng for live streaming of our programs and news. Connect with us on Facebook. Our page is Von Newscast. You can also join on the conversation on X, formerly known as Twitter. The handle is at Voice of Nigeria. By the way, you can listen to Voice of Nigeria via the Voice of Nigeria news app, Simple Radio, Radio Garden, and TuneIn, all available on your preferred app store. Production was by Victor Yaku. Saliu Tajuddin handled the audio console, and I am Jude Kankara. Bye for now.
My name is Abike Dabirerewa, Chairman of Nigerian Sin Diaspora Commission. You are listening to Voice of Nigeria. Keep listening to Voice of Nigeria on www.von.gov.ng. Keep listening.
from the center of unity, Abuja, to the shores of the Atlantic Ocean, Lagos. This is Voice of Nigeria.
Unity to us goes beyond seeing the different geographical entities becoming one body. Rather, it is the coming together of a people with diverse views and backgrounds to use their various and sundry strengths as well as values for the greater good of the Nigerian society. As a nation, focus should be on building inter-ethnic relationships and harmony. The program is Bonds of Harmony, brought to you from the studios of Voice of Nigeria. This week, we will be featuring the Igbos living among the Fulani people of Adamawa State in the eastern part of Nigeria. I am Okatahi Ochia. Welcome. There are over 500 different tribes in the country Nigeria, and of these tribes, there are three major ones: the Hausas in the northern part of the country, the Yorubas from the western part of the country, and the Igbos from the eastern part of the country. Among the many tribes that make up the nation are the Fulani, who are also a major tribe in Nigeria. The Fulani are all over the country, but dominant in Adamawa State in the northeastern region of Nigeria. The Fulanis are a proud people who teach their young children to have tribal dignity. Zubeda is a Fulani lady from Adamawa, and she tells us briefly about the beauty of her people.
Engage Adamawa as a place where I get peace, because the place is very serene, there are very hospitable people, and the environment is just so beautiful. And it's very sunny, it's very hot there. I said it makes my skin nicer. Yeah, the sun there makes my skin nicer. I know it's weird, but then, yes, that's just what I love, and I love the culture there. There are a lot of all these Fulani women. And the language, beautiful.
One of the ethnic groups coexisting with the Fulani people are the Igbo people, who occupy the southeastern part of Nigeria. They are known to be highly enterprising, industrious, and geographically mobile. A trait that has been in the group from inception. Isuzu Chiamaka is an Igbo indigene residing with the Fulanis. She talks about the trait and entrepreneurship nature of the Igbos.
An Igbo person is money-minded to, I would say, an entrepreneur. Yeah, we are nice people. We are caring. Our brother's keeper. An Igbo person is always his or our brother or sister's keeper. Yes. Our culture is unique to our food, marriages, and all, you know. So an Igbo state is a place I would, you know, want to visit all the time.
It is a well-known fact that Igbos are itinerant in nature. They move from their original abode in search of greener pastures. This is one of the main reasons for their migration to Adamawa and other parts of Nigeria and Africa as a whole, to engage in cattle business with the Fulanis there. Mr. Dennis Nwafor is an Igbo man living in Adamawa. He says the great collaboration between the two tribes has made it easier for the Igbos to reside there in large numbers.
In rural Nigeria, Igbo people are mostly craftsmen. They're famous. They're traders. Igbo people, they are distinct in their languages. Their languages are just unique. You know an Igbo man by his language. The way the English will say, how are you? The Igbo people will say, keko ka imele, or what is your name, Kedu Ahagi, or thank you, Ndewo, and so on. And so there are many expressions in Igbo. That is what we have been in. If you see an Igbo person, you know them by the way they dress, and they, you know, we put on this red cap and so on. So, and you know, Igbo people, we are known to relate with people. We are good. We are good in relating with people. We don't easily give up. That is one thing that you should know about the Igbo people. They don't really give up. They feel that there is always a way to do something.
Although most of the Fulanis are cattle herders, some also grow a few crops such as sorghum or corn. The Fulani are known to live simply and as a people who possess a historic affiliation for animal husbandry. They, as their counterparts, the Igbos, are also entrepreneurs whose women travel in groups selling fura denono, a local drink made from cow milk and ground millets or sorghum. Zubeda talks about the similarities in trade for the two tribes and the simplicity and understanding nature of the Fulani people.
I feel like, okay, even if you see the trade in the Fulanis, where cattle rearers, most of us, the Igbos are very entrepreneurial. So there has always been this trade, this exchange of things. And yeah, some of them are ambitious, just that this tradition of cattle rearing is something that everybody takes very seriously. Like the number of your cows is just like your wealth. Yeah.
Out of the diverse ethnic groups in the country, many of the tribes have stereotyped notions on other tribes, until when having opportunity to live with the opposite side, could they distinguish the truth about them? Chiamaka had the same experience, as she explains more.
I will use myself as an example. Me coming to the north is still overwhelming to me. But me coming here down to the north, and then I have a colleague that is a Fulani person, is amazing. She is really nice. She's understanding. She put me through whatever I don't understand. So I think we're doing perfectly.
Nigerians are distinguished differently, some by their tribal marks and some by their accent. It all depends on the ethnic group one is representing. Chiamaka enlightens us about the Igbo features.
An Igbo person is way, way lighter. They're light skinned.
Yes.
Culture is a total way of life. Celebrating cultural festivals helps communities to showcase their heritage and traditions. The Fulani people of Adamawa State also have unique cultural attributes that help to reveal their cultural roots when they appear in public. The Fulani women are known for their artistic hairstyles, flamboyant in nature. This signature is considered absurd to many, but they wear it with pride, while the men dress colorfully, carrying their radios on their shoulders. Their traditional costumes are made in different colors, which portrays their identity and their cultural background. Zubeda again.
Some of them are not being practiced, like that shawl. We have this hawa, it's like a polo and a horse riding kind of thing. That's the two I know of. If there's like this Eid coming and the one that passed there, you always see them very colorful, wearing red and yellow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's vibrant colors. And then they also put that hat.
The history is manifested in their rich traditional music and dances. Isuzu Chiamaka explains.
One of the major festivals we have in the East is the New Yam Festival and all other masquerades festivals, especially during December period. There are lots and lots of festivals and celebrations going on.
Thank you.
harmony and peace can be sustained when there is a conscious effort to promote it. Xavier Odok expresses his view on how indigenous cultural groups of any community should treat other tribes living with them.
When someone goes to a community that is not yours, try as much as possible to stay away from any circumstances that will not lead you into trouble with those indigenous. For the indigenous of any community, I will say, they should not discriminate. We are all Nigerians, irrespective of ethnicity or language.
For us to live peacefully with one another, we all must search and examine ourselves. Chiamaka expressed the fact that peace in Nigeria should be sustained and strengthened, for it is only when we continue to live together in love, peace and harmony with one another, learn how to forgive, tolerate and respect one another, that we can make the country a better place for us to live in.
We have to be open-minded to be able to accept someone, respect the person, and tolerate them. So I want everyone out there to try and be open-minded. Just give it a try. It's not going to be harmful. You just have to, you know, I'm not saying you should completely neglect your culture. Just try and coexist with someone peacefully. Try and tolerate. Because right now, I won't say I'm even tolerating her. I'm understanding her. So, understanding and open-mindedness is what we need.
It is a known fact that to promote peace in Nigeria and beyond, a collective effort of all is needed to unite as one. This, Paul Achada, chairman of the Catholic Men Organization of St. Sylvester, New Nyanya, Abuja, thinks is a criteria to move the country to greater heights.
We need to see ourselves as one in this country. The way the country is, resources are spread all over. If I, as a person born and bred in the West, can go to the North and live freely, see any state in the North as my home. The oil in this region, the fund from there is used to develop this place, and then food from this other place is going to this place. And with that, I think it will help us to be more focused, and then we'll come to realize that when we are together, we are stronger.
Peace is important for every individual in order to live a life free from violence. To guarantee safety of life for economic, social and developmental growth, every well-meaning citizen of all nations is urged to imbibe the virtue of tolerance so that we can coexist in mutual respect and love. For us to effectively utilize our diversity for nation building, we should learn to empathize more for one another and establish an intercultural environment which will improve our social contract and intergroup relations. We have come to the end of this edition of the program, Bonds of Harmony. Focus was on the Igbo people of Anambra State in Nigeria, living amongst the Fulani people of Adamawa State in the northeastern part of the country. For comments and inquiries, contact the producer, Bonds of Harmony, through our email address, vonenglishproducers@gmail.com. You can also listen to Voice of Nigeria via Simple Radio, Radio Garden and TuneIn Radio streaming applications. The program was produced by Mercy Odu. My studio manager has been Chizoba Obiajulu. I am Okatahi Ojia. And from all of us at Voice of Nigeria, it's bye for now.
Welcome to episode 55 of Can True Love Withstand the Test? In the last episode, Paul had a heart-to-heart talk with Lara and she advised him to just go to Sandra instead of trying to call her.
Here is fine, thank you. You can keep the change.
Thank you.
Sandra.
What are you doing here? You scared me. I really don't want to...
I've been waiting outside for the past 4 hours.
Why?
To beg for your forgiveness. I know what I did is unforgivable.
Then why are you asking for forgiveness?
Because it's the only thing I can do. Sandra, please, we all make mistakes. Forgive me, please. You can't tell me you've never made a mistake.
I've never betrayed you, Paul, by sleeping around.
I know. I acted in anger. I wanted to get back at you. I'm not like that. I swear. You know me. I'm better than that.
I thought I did.
I've been miserable without you, Sandra. I promise I'll never let you down again.
What if I promise you that I'm ready to get married now? Will at least for us to start making plans for it?
Do you really mean it? can we have sex now?
What?
just kidding. But let's set the date already.
Imagine a world where people recognize the consequences of their choices and learn from their mistakes. It's possible, and it begins with you. For more information, visit www.itbeginswithyou.org.